Welcome, everybody, to Friday Night Service, December 1st edition, 2017. I'm excited to be with you guys. We've been going through a three-week series here, although we actually didn't have Friday Night Service last week, mainly because of the holiday weekend. So if anybody showed up to the doors and there's nothing going on, I'm sorry, but there's something going on tonight. So I'm glad you're here. So as we've been going through this series here, Truth, Goodness, and Beauty, we've been talking about these three main aspects, really, in our Christian faith and in our walk with Christ. Jerry and Jason have been tackling the first couple teachings, and Jason is making the point that, it's kind of like a stool, a three-legged stool. If you remove truth, goodness, or beauty from the stool, it's going to fall over, and you're not going to be able to sit very well on it. And Jerry was talking about how it's a bit of a pyramid where one thing leads into another, where truth is your base, and what you see as true will develop into what you see as good, and what you see as good will, you'll call it beautiful. And tonight, we're going to zone in and isolate beauty tonight, which I'm really excited about, because I was reading through Jason's notes, and he was saying, he wrote the word aesthetically pleasing in there, and it really got me excited in thinking about beautiful things. So what we're going to do is we're going to zone in on this word, and we're going to zone in on it, and as we zone in on it, we're going to talk, we're going to try and answer one main overarching question here. You know, with truth and goodness, you know, what role does beauty play in our walk with Christ? I think we can understand, as Christians, truth and goodness quite well. You know, if it's true, you abide by it. If it's good, you do it. But beauty, maybe, sometimes, I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes beauty can probably get a little combobbled. Yeah, I made that up. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about beauty. We're going to talk about how it affects our lives. What role does it play? And the way we're going to talk about this is basically asking three main questions. One, well, what is beauty? What is it? Is it relative? Is it absolute? Is it something or someone? And we'll also ask the question, well, where is this beauty? Beauty exists all around us in the world, right? Well, where is it? What do we call beautiful? So where is it? And the last thing we're going to look at is, well, what application is there for this thing called beauty? What's the main thrust? What's the point? What's the example? What's the point of this whole teaching? The application. Application implying that there's a purpose, not just a thing you do, but there's an actual purpose for beauty, meaning that it was intentionally made. So this is what we're going to do tonight, and I'm excited. I'm like really excited. Can you see how much I'm pacing? Like, I'm really excited. I haven't taught in like a month and a half, so I'm like jittery. So let me pray. We're going to jump into this, and let's hope God just sweeps us off our feet tonight. Lord, God above, Heavenly Father, holy, magnificent, you are true, good, and beautiful, Father. You truly are amazing. And I just pray for tonight. I pray for these hearts, these souls, these minds that walked in the door tonight on the first day of December here, Lord. I just pray that we can open our hearts to what you want to say tonight to each and every one of us. Make it personal for us, God. Make it personal. Make it meaningful. Help us understand beauty with a purpose. Help us to understand why it's important, why it's necessary, God. Help us to see what you want us to do with this gift, this concept, this tool of beauty, Father. And I just pray that each and every one of us can hear your still small voice tonight as it relates to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, beauty. Not the beast, just beauty. So what is beautiful? What is beauty? Well, the world, I would say, would call beauty relative, as it can do with truth, as it can do with what's good. If the world is able to define truth as relative, then what is good, then good that follows truth is also relative, therefore meaning that beauty that follows goodness is also relative. And I want to give you guys an example here. I'll have Luke play the clip, and then I'll explain the purpose of it. So Luke, whenever you're ready. And so I'm using Google Slides, and Luke is just like, what are you doing to me, Matt? So whenever you want to, Luke, whenever you can. For those of you who are listening to the message, I'll explain it in a sec. Beautiful. For those real quick listening to the message, I showed a clip here of Aaron Rodgers throwing a Hail Mary against the Lions a few years ago to win the game. So how is that relative? What makes that beautiful? Well, from a Green Bay Packers fan standpoint, it's Aaron Rodgers doing what Aaron Rodgers does, win football games. It's a season-saving play as well. For those of you who don't know the context, the Packers were one loss away from really trashing the rest of their season, and they needed that pass, that touchdown catch, in order to get their season back on track. After that, they went on a winning streak. They made the playoffs. And that was just beautiful as a Packer fan. This is awesome. Aaron Rodgers throwing it 70 yards, pinpoint accuracy. He threw it. He throws that ball a half second too late, it's incomplete. A half second too early, it's intercepted. He throws it at the right time, in the right spot, and Richard Rodgers runs the right route to get the ball. Beautiful. Now let's ask a Detroit Lions fan. Was that beautiful? Absolutely not. That was one of the ugliest things they've ever seen. I've seen YouTube clips of fans in the stands as that play is happening, and they are just, they're crying. They hate it. They're swearing. I mean, it's not good if you're a Lions fan. But this is just an example. I mean, there's just an endless amount of possibilities, because things that we can prefer, we can deem as beautiful, and things that we don't prefer, we can deem as, well, the opposite, ugly. A Packer fan says Aaron Rodgers throwing Hail Mary touchdowns is a beautiful thing. The opposing team will say, oh my gosh, when will this guy retire? And so, the world will say it's relative. And I kind of agree with what the world is saying, but I don't really answer to the world. I answer to God, and I answer to the Word. So what does the Word say? And what does the Bible say? What does God's voice say beauty is? Well, oftentimes we'll find if the truth in the world is relative, then the truth in the Bible is absolute. There's a standard. There is a right and wrong. And the way God uses, the way we can view beauty, the way we can view how beauty is demonstrated in the Bible, isn't so much necessarily just looking at the actions or the things. Sometimes you have to see the heart behind it. And so beauty, biblically, from what I read in the Bible, when I hear God speak, when I hear Jesus speak, beauty a lot of times isn't defined by external things, but it's actually what's on the inside, what's internally going on. I think a lot about when Samuel, in the book of Samuel, he was out trying to find the next king after Saul, and Samuel walks into Jesse's house, and he looks up and he says, he sees the firstborn son of Jesse, and he's like, wow, that guy looks like a king, God. Is that the guy you want me to anoint? I'll do it, because he looks pretty. He looks like a warrior king. He could kick some butt. He could really lead this country. And then God looks down at Samuel and says, no. I don't judge based on appearance. I judge based on the heart. And as we all know, David had probably the most beautiful heart out of all his brothers. And God had him anointed king. But God sees this, you know, he looks for what's true, what's good, what's righteous inside a person's heart. Mainly because he is true, he is good, he is righteous, he is beautiful. So what is beauty? You know, I think the best way we can actually define beauty is that God is beautiful. And I'm not just saying like he looks good. I mean, he's actually beauty itself. You know, we've talked about if God has a genetic code, if he has DNA, he has a love gene. Well, if God has a genetic code, he has a beauty gene. He is love. He is beauty. He is truth. He is goodness. He is. Everything that we can understand about the world stems from God's very nature. So I would define beauty as God, from which everything else that's beautiful stems from him. I kind of want to read a psalm here. I'm going to read out the NLT, Psalm 27. It's one of David's psalms. He wrote a lot of psalms. I'll read it and then I'll kind of explain it here. Once I get to it. Trust me, I practice this. I know what I'm doing. Okay. Psalm 27, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. That's what the NLT says. I love the way the ESV words it. It says, I want to see your beauty, God. It doesn't say perfection, it says beauty. I want to dwell in your house and just gaze upon your beauty and be infatuated with it, be enamored with your beauty. I know, shut up. And so, I think the best way we can look at this is just, what is beauty? Well, it's God. Beauty is God. By the way, I said shut up, not because I didn't want anyone to snicker. It's because I said booty instead of beauty right there. I caught it. I know. Trust me. I mumble so much in my life. I know. So where do we see God's beauty? You know, if God is beauty and we can't see an invisible God, where do we see this beauty lay? Where is it? Well, I'll give you a couple examples. First one is, I think you can look outside and just see it. It's like in nature. It's the very thing that God has created. In Genesis 1:1, I guess I don't need to read it, but in Genesis 1:1 and just the first chapter, God is creating everything. He's creating light. He's separating it, calling the day light day and the darkness night. He calls it good. He makes the seas lower. He makes the earth rise. He puts the stars in the sky. He knows them by name. And as he's making all these things in Genesis 1:1, he keeps saying, it's good, it's good, it's good. When it's good, it's beautiful. God has made nature. God's beautiful and makes beautiful things. There you go, Luke. God is beautiful, and he makes beautiful things. It's in his nature. God can't, if he wanted to, make something that's ugly. You ever seen a platypus? That thing is, in my opinion, a little weird. But God made it. And because God made it, you can see past maybe the external deformities and view the inward truth in what is made the platypus. I'm really having a hard time believing myself when I say the platypus is beautiful, but God made it. If God made it, it's beautiful. And we can look outside and we can see the nature. I want to show you a couple pictures here. These are ones I took on my phone. This first one's a rainbow. Get rid of the sky. Show the rainbow. Thanks, Luke. Here's the rainbow. I know it might be a little harder to see where you're sitting. I took this on my phone. Brianna and I were actually driving to church one Friday night. This was sometime in the summer. And luckily, Brianna was driving, and I was looking out the, this is heading south on 53, and I was looking out the window, and I saw this beautiful, just perfect rainbow. It was just the most clear rainbow I think I've ever seen in my whole life. The edge of the rainbow, it didn't look faded, and it was defined. It was a complete arc. I only got half of it. It was just so beautiful. And I looked at that, and I pondered, and I wondered, and I meditated on why that's even there. And after the flood, God puts the rainbow in the sky as a covenant. And he makes a promise saying, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to destroy the earth. I'm not going to flood it. And as we were driving, I was looking at that and I was saying to myself, God is so faithful. There were so many times throughout human history that we deserved another flood. But yet he held back. And this is just so beautiful. And you can show the other picture. And the other picture was actually after a Friday night service, where when God made light, he made the sun. He made it in a way so that the rays, the light would just, the colors would just splash right on top of the clouded canvas. And there they are, just the colors, just the beauty that light refracting through the atmosphere, causing it to display on the clouds with just that faded shadow is mesmerizing. If you let yourself be mesmerized. So where is God's beauty? Well, it's all around us. It's in nature. It's everywhere. Moving on, I would even venture to guess or actually to claim that where is this beauty that God is? Well, it's in us. We are beautiful. We are beautifully made. We are beautifully crafted. We are knitted in our mother's womb with a purpose. We were made in the image of God, right? In Genesis 1:27. I'll read it out of the NLT here. It's just one verse, but it's just so worth reading. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. Do you ever stop to think when you wake up in the morning, when you look in the mirror, you look yourself in the eye, you ever just stopped and think? The almighty creator being, master of the universe, who made everything that it ever was, ever is, and ever will be, took a moment and put you together. He created the sun, he created the sunset, he created the rainbow, he created the stars in the sky, he created everything that is magnificent, glorious, and beautiful, and then he took a moment and he made you with the same effort that it took to make mountains and forests and the sea. You are beautifully crafted in the image of God. And because you are beautifully crafted, that means God has put inside of you a capacity for beauty and a desire to seek it, a desire to find it. You know, we look for things that are pleasing. We look for things that are beautiful. We want to see beautiful things. That's why I will replay Aaron Rodgers' Hail Marys all day long if I want to. That was a joke, but we look for beautiful things. We want to see beautiful things. And that's not wrong. And in fact, that's a good thing because God has put that inside of us. The interesting thing, though, is as humans is that we do have this thing called sin inside of us. And so our perception of beauty can be skewed. It can be distorted or disconnected from who God is. I put a note here. It says, there's only one way to see the holy standard of beauty. There is only one way to see the holy standard of beauty. God is the absolute beauty. He is the standard of beauty. And the best way that we can see that is when we enter into a relationship with him. But we can't do that so long as sin is inside of us. So what's next? Well, another place where we see God's beauty is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's very essence of beauty manifested in the human form. Jesus was truth. He was good. He was all righteous. He was perfect. He was God in human form, 100% man, 100% God. And he lived the perfect life that we never could. And he came to earth with a purpose, to be slaughtered on a piece of wood, so that when his blood poured out, we could wash ourselves with it and be cleansed of our sin and enter into a relationship with God. You know, it's through our faith in Christ that we can begin to understand and exemplify, if I'm using that word correctly, God's beauty. Sin inhibits our actual perception of what can be beautiful. And Jesus removes that. When you put your faith in Christ, not only are you saved, not only are the eternal flames of hell not going to burn you up, something better happens. You actually enter into a relationship with the Almighty God who created the mountains, created the forests, the seas, the sun, the stars, and you. Read out of Romans 10 here. I'll find it. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will enter in relationship with God because your sin has been removed from your body. You are no longer condemned or found guilty of any sin you have ever committed, are committing, or will commit. And when that has been removed, you can freely pursue an understanding and intimacy with God. And because you can freely pursue intimacy with God, you'll begin to gaze upon his beauty. And when you can begin to gaze upon his beauty, that will in turn affect you, and it will make you see what is beautiful. Your capacity for beauty grows exponentially, and you'll desire to seek more godly beauty. Praise the Lord. So, if God is beauty, and his beauty is manifested in Jesus, it's manifested in us, we're created in the image of God, and it's manifested in the world, the stars, the moon, the sun, everything, the ground, the grass, even the platypus. What is the purpose of all of it? What's the point? What's the application? I would make the argument that the application of God's beauty is that freedom from sin allows us to wholly achieve God's beautiful works. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I used the right holy. I was debating. I used W-H-O-L-L-Y. Because I wanted to emphasize that God has put a capacity to do beautiful things inside of us. And that comes in different forms. And God would like it, I think since we have a purpose for understanding beauty and wanting to create beautiful things, I think God would want us to. So what form do those take? Well, if you're a musician, you play music. You're an artist, you draw, you paint, you watercolor. You can write poetry, you can write a novel, you can write a book, maybe an autobiography, a testimony. You can make films, you can document, you can take pictures and photographs. You can dance. And you can pursue other things. Maybe some might even call them neglected arts. But God wants to just take you and do something beautiful with you, something that is aesthetic. You know, it's not just limited to these things. I understand, you know, man, I don't play an instrument, and I've never written a poem in my life. I understand. I'm not saying you have to. I'm not saying however you're wired, whatever which way you're gifted, you suddenly have to pick up a guitar and learn how to play. I'm not saying that you have to do that. What I'm saying is that somewhere inside of you, and I don't know what it is, but Jesus does, somewhere inside of you, there's something in you that craves to make something, that craves to make something beautiful. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is for each and every one of us, but I know that it's there. And I know that it's there because I married a writer, and she loves to write, and Brianna's a really good writer, and I like to write. I don't think I'm as good a writer, but I like to write. I like to write poems. I like to just write short stories. I like to come up with rhymes and lyrics, and it's just fun for me. And I think God is very pleased when I do that, and I do it for him when I can. And I was debating if I wanted to share one with you guys, one of the poems I wrote, a little lyric, a little rhyme. I was debating back and forth, like, I don't know, I don't want to do that. But then God told me, you can, and I said, okay. So, there's one on my phone here. I was actually at work one day, and just this rhyme popped in my head as I was praying and meditating, and it ended up turning into a couple stanzas. And I don't know, I kind of just want to read it for you guys. You can take it for what it's worth, but I just kind of wanted to give an example of what one of these things can be. It's the bone that was broken, the blood that was spilled, the body that lay naked just so I could be filled. Up on the cross in shame and agony, the innocent lamb up there with the guilty. Woman, look up, it's your son on the wood, perfection who lived the life I never could. As I fall on my knees in awe and worship, I can't help but think, but Lord, was I really worth it to save a sinner who's so badly broken with your perfect son who's so wholly devoted? You came to me and not I to you. I spat in your face as you showed me your grace. I denied your existence, claiming I'm self-righteous, I don't need no assistance. Yet you are a God of persistence. You didn't quit till my soul was yours. So here I am, an acknowledged sinner, newly converted, just a beginner, stumbling, faulting, and making mistakes, but I don't need to pretend to be fake.
Lord, I confess I don't know it all, but help me get up every time I fall. My guilt may grow, my sins may mount, but you're a God who doesn't keep count. Yeah. I was just about to say you don't have to clap, but thank you. No, I love poetry. I wish I wrote it more. That's just one application of God's beauty, is actually our capacity and our ability to actually make something. Some of us are probably really gifted painters. Do any of you know Paul and Katie Nyborg? Because they work with their hands. They make things. Jason, right? Katie made you a mug?
Yeah,
and you love it. It's amazing. Oh. Well, we're not going to put that one on Katie, are we? So, no. And Paul, one night I was with Paul. I'm just picking on the Nybergs here. I'm glad they're not here. They'd be embarrassed. But I was with Paul one time in his shed. That sounds weird. But he has a furnace, and he hits metal on metal. What's that called? Thank you. Yes. He does that. And I was with him one night. And me and Jacob Donahoe were like practicing on just this random piece of metal. And we're just hitting it, trying to see if we can make it into a point. We just wanted to make a point. Like, I don't know how hard it is, but we just couldn't do it. And so we're taking like 15, 20 minutes just trying to make a point out of a piece of metal. Meanwhile, Paul's just like, what are you guys doing? Like, well, we're just trying to make a point. He's like, oh, okay. What are you trying to make? A spearhead? Oh, okay. And then he grabs a piece of metal. He gets it hot, and he starts beating the heck out of it. He cools it, gets it hot again, beats more out of it. And before you know it, in like 5-10 minutes, he's made this beautifully crafted, perfect like spear end with circles and a point, and it's smooth. And Jacob and I are like, screw this, we're done. And so it was just beautiful. It was amazing. It was awesome. But before I get too distracted, my last slide here, I was telling Brianna as I was kind of explaining this through. This right here, pay attention. This is my crescendo. This, I say this a lot when I teach. I'm going to say it again. Everything I've said has led up to this point right here. Application for God's beauty. Follow me. We exist in God's creation. Because God is beautiful. He is beauty. And we exist in what he's made. Therefore, everything that he's made around us is beautiful. Get lost in it. I mean, get lost. If you go into the woods, bring a map. But if get lost in God's beauty, get lost in his presence. You want an application for God's beauty? God's beauty is designed to overwhelm you on purpose. It's designed to make you infatuated with him. It's designed to enamor you, to make you say awe, to just draw you so close to him that everything else in this world will fade away. God is so beautiful, and he's made a beautiful world. Get lost in it. Just, I'm a night owl. I like to go outside at night when I feel like it. Before I got married, I used to do it a lot, but sometimes I would walk outside in my neighborhood, like 11:30 at night, and I would just walk around, and it's quiet. It's peaceful. Street lights are on, just that orange light just glaring down. You're just walking, houses you pass by. Nobody's on the street, nobody's on the sidewalk. You're by yourself. And then you look up, and the billions of stars are just looking down on you. And you can't help but just say to yourself, wow, I am small. And wow is the God that I worship, that lives inside of me, so big. I'll give Brianna's example. One thing that Brianna loves to do is to stand. I don't know how she does this, but she will just stand at the edge of a beach. When we were on our honeymoon, she would stand on the balcony of the ship we were on, and she would just look out at the ocean, and there's no end. That scares me. I don't like water. That petrifies me. But to Brianna, she just stares out into the ocean, and she just gets lost. And I know when she's lost because I'll look at her, and she just will ignore me beyond belief, which is fine, which is great, because I know that she's with God in that moment. She's just enamored with the endless sea. She's infatuated with the sun breaking the horizon on the edge of the sea. She's lost in God's beauty. We exist in a We exist in God's creation. Go get lost in it. Let yourself be overwhelmed. Let yourself be lost. And I say let, because I think oftentimes when we try to find beautiful things, we try to justify them, we try to make a point to them, we try to say there must be a purpose for it, especially when we look at maybe nature. When you get into God's presence and you just let his beauty begin to just grab hold of you and overwhelm you, your questions and your concerns about if there's a point, if there's a reason for it, just fade away. And then you can just be. And you can just be with God. And you can just be in intimacy with Jesus. And you can just talk and be at peace. And every little worry you have, work, life, the kids, family, will just fade away. Because you will be that much closer to God. Get lost in his beauty. Let me pray. Lord, you are beautiful. You are holy, awesome. You're just mighty. I think back to when the eclipse just happened, and I was standing outside, and I wasn't looking at the sun, because that's a bad idea, but I was just standing there. I was just overwhelmed by the fact that you made the earth, the sun, and the moon to rotate and revolve in such a way that in time, the moon would just pass in front of the sun and put a shadow on the earth. That is just amazing to think about. And I got lost in that, Lord. That was one of the most exciting days I think I've ever lived, was just knowing that you made that happen. And I was alive to be a part of it. And I got overwhelmed in it, Lord. And I just pray that with us, as we step forward, that we would just get lost in your beauty, God. I pray that we would get lost. Let ourselves get lost. Let ourselves be in your presence. And I just pray that we would have the desire to make something beautiful. Maybe we don't know what our aesthetic gifts are quite yet, but you know what? I pray we go and find them, God. And I pray that you would just encourage us as we go forth. And I pray that you would keep us motivated to keep searching for beautiful things and then contributing to it and making beautiful things, God. In Jesus' name, amen.